Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Lumify. Don't you just love when someone looks at you and says, "What were you up to last night?" Well, no matter how late you were up the night before, Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops can help your eyes look more refreshed and awake. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute to help your eyes look brighter and whiter for up to 8 hours. No wonder it has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. You won't believe your eyes. You know you can trust them, though, because they're made by the eye care experts at Bausch and Lomb, and they're backed by 6 clinical studies. Eye doctors trust them, too. They're the number one recommended redness reliever eye drop. The one and only Lumify is an amazing drop that will have people saying, "Something's different about you," in the best way possible. So check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. That's LumifyEyes.com. Thank you so much, Lumify, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. Hi everyone, my name is Tyler Oakley, and you are listening to Psychobabble, an unfiltered half hour of gossip sessions, pop culture scrutiny, and stories we've never told in videos. It's not just crazy talk, it's Psychobabble. This week, we dive deep into the Grammys 2023 and Drag Race Season 15. Did Harry Styles queer bait his way to Album of the Year? Did Beyoncé actually get snubbed? Which all-time greatest artists never won Album of the Year? Plus, we catch up on all things Drag Race and why all the queens are fighting for second place. Subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts and join our exclusive Psychobabble community at patreon.com/psychobabble. If you're not on our Discord, you're only getting half the babble.
Hello and happy new year!
I'm rewatching season 12 of Drag Race, and there's
that
challenge
one?
Where they... Jada, Gigi.
Oh, a great season. Crystal.
Yeah. Yes, Crystal, etc. Anyway, the challenge where they all have to... Wait, was that... I'm so mixed up on what's from this season currently from that season, because I'm watching them together. Where they all have to speak at the same time.
I don't think I've seen that on this season yet, so it must be on last season.
They're like in the best worst talent show competition, and they all have to speak. Aiden Zane was there, so it was not this season. Never mind.
Zane from One Direction?
No, Aiden Zane.
Oh,
people were really rude to Aiden Zane. I'd like to go back in time.
Aiden Zane for All Stars.
Aiden Zane for All Stars. I've been zaying it.
I like when she walked out and said, "I refuse to leave this competition as the quiet bitch," and then screams.
Good for her. You know what? I would like an oral history of every exit line. When did that start? Because it wasn't always
I know.
That people had exit
there
lines.
I think there's some low-hanging fruit that I could really educate myself on just to sound like a real super fan. Like, oh, the mirror writing started circa season whatever it was. The first person to say a thing when they exited was this person.
Same with intro lines. Oh, I hate it when somebody's exit line is something sincere. Like, don't forget to dream big. It's like, girl, this is why you didn't win. Like, I always feel like if your exit line is, oh, remember that one from that one? Maybe it was Australia or something, and she was...
Not that one from that one.
That girl, and she was like, don't... ever forget to always be and do what you have, because you all are brave. It was something like that. It just came up on my TikTok. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Is
some people don't realize that they're being iconic, but they're being iconic for the wrong ways, wrong reasons.
Is asking someone their Drag Race exit elimination line the new What's Your Real Housewives opening line?
No, what's your Drag Race intro line? Nobody's planning their exit line.
A real
winner doesn't plan an exit line.
I'm going to say a lot of those people do have their exit lines pre-programmed.
Yeah. Oh, and it kills me when they're not centered in the runway when they deliver their exit line.
Is that a thing?
Oh, it just, it really does, it's bad for me.
Should we do a documentary all about the exit lines of RuPaul's
I would do a ranking of every exit line. That's kind of fun.
Well, I mean, you were very busy ranking which pasta you wanted to fuck last week.
No, that was not last week.
Oh, I'm...
That was like a month ago, thank you.
Oh, I'm Zarls.
I did just rank every chain restaurant this past Friday.
Okay. Now, do you consider a chain restaurant, a drive-thru and a sit-down the same? Were they both at play?
McDonald's was present. Fazoli's was present.
I think I saw that Outback. Well, Fazoli's has a drive-thru, first of all. But I do think...
Does it?
Yes. I do think I saw Outback on the list, so... And it was pretty high.
Cheesecake Factory was on the list.
Pretty high for a white guy.
Thank you. Hey, what's new? How was your weekend?
Oh my God. I had the best little weekend, actually, surprisingly. Who knew I had it in me?
I did.
I saw Friends. I took an Orange Theory class for the first time.
Now what in the hell is that?
I mean, it's like a Barry's boot camp, if you're familiar, if you're in the know. But my one complaint is because it's called Orange Theory, it's very orange is our aesthetic. Orange everywhere. Orange walls, orange sinks, orange shit everywhere.
Do you like that color profile or the Planet Fitness color profile? The yellow and purple.
I'm not big on orange, yellow, or purple. I could wear a dark purple if I had to. I don't think I own any purple.
Okay.
I don't own any blurple glasses.
Do you not color code your shirts in your closet?
Yes, they are.
So you would know if you have purple.
So, well, whites are all the way at the end, and then it goes into grays, and then into, like, one navy shirt, and then, like, a 15
I'm
black.
I'm familiar with how to color code.
I know, but...
Boy G. Biv, my dear.
I know, but do you want me to... I'm saying what I'm... I would need to take a picture because almost everything I own falls into... Gray, black, white. I have like one hunter green, one navy blue.
Oh, I saw a post about, you know, how colors of cars are changing over time. I think we've discussed this before. But over the years, how like the variety of colors of cars that get created has shifted toward all like white, gray, and black and blue. And you can see over time the amount of like colors or like yellow cars and red cars, and it's like all of the cars that are colorful are diminishing. Anyway, I'm very happy to have a green car, but like it's my burden's a bear because no green cars exist these days nowadays.
Well, it's because I feel like our generation grew up with people. I don't, maybe this is me. Didn't your parents used to be like, oh, if you have a red car, you're getting pulled over, baby?
Yeah, and so I never got a red car.
Right, and so I feel like all of our parents scared us. And same thing. I swear my mom was like, oh, yellow car, you're standing out, troublemaker.
Well, you know what? This is victim blaming ACAB on that one, I believe. What they really should have been teaching us something real special was ACAB.
Maybe that's what... maybe I will really step out of the box and get a car with a color.
Oh my God, it's so fun. An old man stopped me in a parking lot and I thought he was, I don't know what I thought he was going to ask of me. And then he told me to roll down my window. He goes, love the color of your car.
Oh.
I said, thanks.
It's a rental.
Thank you, sir.
Wow. Yeah, no, literally no one's ever complimented the color of my car.
Well,
you know, when we...
There's still time.
When we were RAs in college... This girl that I didn't care for got a new car, and she told everyone it was Sandstorm.
What does that mean?
Her car was like
beige?
The fucking ugliest tan beige.
Okay. Fluorescent beige.
Bitch, I'm black. That's the lyric from Beyonce's song.
That's like, what? Where's fluorescent beige from?
Cozy.
No, fluorescent beige, no, is from...
T.S. Madison.
No.
But that's...
Is that what you... That's... Oh, you want to go to Beyonce? We can talk to Beyonce.
I'm not trying to get there. I'm just trying to say that in Cozy, T.S. Madison says, fluorescent beige, bitch, I'm black.
Well, fluorescent beige is from Precious. If somebody says, my favorite color is fluorescent beige, it was in the preview.
Okay. Did you ever see Precious?
I did.
Okay.
It's a real doozy. Mariah Carey was there.
Did you see the Squeakquel?
Return of the Presh?
No. Too Precious. Too Precious. Too fast.
Too Precious. Too Precious.
Too fast. Too Precious.
So Precious. So clean. Clean?
No.
No.
Well, I saw. Well, did you want to talk about Beyonce? Hey, did you
let's
want to
talk
Grammys.
About the Grammys? Let's talk the Grammys. Grandma was in the house. The Grammys were here.
Oh my God, the Grammy. The Grammy really did present that Grammy.
What Grammy?
The Harry Styles fan.
I didn't really watch the Grammys. I'm not going to lie to you. I watched clips, and I watched parts of it.
Smart.
I watched the 50-year performance, the hip-hop one.
Yep.
Hudson knew every word to every song during it. He put it on full volume. I've never seen him turn the volume up so loud. Usually he's like, can we turn it down a little? It was at 100 on the TV, and he was screaming along, and Salt and Pepper showed up, and he started screaming.
Yes.
He was really living for everybody and everything.
It really.
And then at the end, when he was like, when they said, from Queens to TikTok to the world, Hudson's like, Queens! Yeah, Queens! Queens!
Hudson did Yas Queens?
Basically.
But it was about the suburb, the borough. What do they call them over there?
I don't know. The little neighborhoods.
Yeah. I enjoyed that performance, but I didn't, like, I noticed that it was generational, meaning, like, I didn't notice any of the songs until it got to, like, my age group, and then I knew the second, like, two-thirds of those performances.
I appreciated that he started it with, we can't include everyone, so
absolutely.
Just shut the fuck up.
I was happy for that, too.
I was like, thank you, because, like, you just know, nobody can be happy about anything if they feel like it's not a complete representation of them.
You know what one of my favorite moments of the Grammys was?
Go.
That they didn't play off a single acceptance speech.
Oh,
did the show run over the 3.5 hours? Yes, it did. Do I think it's more important to give the artists literally 2 minutes to speak instead of showing us a car commercial for the 100th time? Absolutely.
Okay, great. Do we want to discuss some of the winners/losers?
Yeah, I actually haven't even Googled the complete list of winners this morning, so I'm only aware of the winners that were aired on TV.
Like the big categories.
It wasn't even the big categories. I think they do a good job of finding like a range of the ones to present on live TV so that we do get a range of like acceptance speeches and a range of winners. I would always rather watch 16 different people go up there and accept award than watch one person collect 8 of them and give the same speech 8 times.
Yeah. My queen lost.
Gaga.
Your queen won.
Sarah won. Another Grammy.
Yes. Congratulations. For what?
Out of the Woods soundtrack.
Mm,
on totally. Broadway. 2-time Grammy winner Sarah Bareilles. Thank you.
I was happy about... I feel like it was... I personally like when... Yeah, not kind of piggybacking what off you said of like you like it when it's not just one person accepting the award all night. I also like it when it's not just one person like winning the awards all night.
Yeah,
like regardless of who goes up to speak. And I like that it felt like a lot of different people were winning a lot of different awards, which the whole point of the night is to celebrate the art and the creations. And so I feel like certainly people were going home feeling like, wow, I felt celebrated, which is like the goal for me.
I think the only one who went up there twice was Harry. I mean, Beyonce would have been up there twice, but she missed the first one because she was stuck in traffic.
It'd be like that. I do fine.
All the people tweeting, why is she stuck in traffic when you know she can afford a helicopter? And I'm like, y'all, we're not encouraging rich people to take flights just because they can.
Sure.
Even if it is Beyonce.
Uber helicopter, though. She could've.
She could've.
Bonnie Raitt.
song.
How did you feel?
Song of the year. She was gagged.
Did you hear it? Have you heard it?
No, I would listen to it. I stand Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah, I mean, didn't she do? She's got a lot of classics, a lot of hits, a lot of cry in the kitchen songs.
Yeah.
Do I think that she is representative for Song of the Year? Probably not. But like, you have to take the Grammys for what the Grammys are. It is a voting block of what, 11,000 people. How many of those people are still currently making music, or how many of them sound produced an album 40 years ago and they're still part of the Grammys voting academy or whatever? Like, how many of them truly have their fingers on the pulse of what is currently happening?
Yeah.
And, but also the Grammys, just like every award show, are so much about wining and dining the voters and getting them in the seats of your tour and going to the luncheons and meeting these people and doing the events and doing the Recording Academy Grammy Museum events and this and that and the other. So like, you have to think about who is playing the game, who has been playing the game for a long time, who is... I'm not saying it's right or wrong or good or bad. I'm just saying that is how you win votes from an academy of 11,000 people, is that you wine and dine and FaceTime.
And I think the same thing is too. And our friend Keith Caulfield, who works for Billboard, I was loving some of his tweets last night just because he was saying, like, here's the thing with 10 nominees, especially in the big four categories. Like, if 11,000 or so people are voting in these categories, all you need is the most votes to win. So if noms are splitting votes, like if the pop girlies are equally excited about Beyonce and Adele, then they're splitting the votes, where maybe all of the country people or Americana people are voting for Bonnie Raitt, and they're like, it becomes like a voting block situation. And then you can see, yes, how things shake out the way that they do.
They should do ranked voting.
Ranked voting. Actually, maybe that's what they take.
Honestly, they should.
I mean, Variety did an article earlier in the week talking to like Grammy voters, and it was interesting. I think they interviewed like five or six people, but they didn't give
them anonymously.
Yes, they had they had it labeled like record producer, but it wasn't like Tyler Oakley did this. But anyways, it's just so interesting to see, because like literally one person was like, well, I wouldn't vote for Adele or Beyonce because they win too many things. And I'm like, that's your mentality? Like, shouldn't you?
Yeah, people are the same reason we have terrible winners for reality shows when there's a jury that is bitter.
Yeah.
Are the same reason we have the incorrect people winning awards and blah, blah, blah. I saw the same thing where it said somebody was like, oh, I wouldn't vote for Harry Styles because he's from a boy band.
Yes, the person said,
what?
They said, what? I wouldn't vote for Beyonce because she always makes, like, this isn't the exact wording. It's a Variety article if you want to Google it and read it. But it said something like, I'm not voting for Beyonce because she always makes a big, like, to-do out of her albums. And then literally in the next sentence was like, well, I also would never vote for Harry Styles either because I don't like his origin story of being in a boy band. I'm like, what? Yeah, dumb 70-year-old man.
It's almost giving everyone like a little bit of like, okay, so this is why we are dealing with the winners that we're dealing with, or the reasons and the outcomes and blah, 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 blah.
With that being said, I loved Harry's album. It's like Beyonce's and Harry's albums were both two of my favorites last year. I was hoping Beyonce was going to win, but I'm certainly not mad that Harry did. And it's like had a little bit of an outcry on Twitter the last 24, 48 hours.
Yeah, I mean, people that are saying like the Grammys hates Beyonce. Beyonce has the record. I don't know.
In the same breath to say that she was snubbed or mistreated, I saw somebody tweet something that was like, I hope she doesn't go next year. They're always using her for views. I'm like, she just set the record for most Grammys ever. Like, what are you talking about?
Do I think that Harry's House is album of the year over Renaissance? No, I don't. I personally feel like Renaissance has way more cultural impact, and
I think it was fresher and more creative and more...
It's more interesting new. And more... said something.
But I don't think Harry's is a bad album by any means.
Correct. I don't think Harry's album was a bad album. I think Harry's album, best pop vocal album, maybe, sure, whatever. However, album of the year, I don't think that it made waves like Renaissance did. Like, you think about how entire clubs are playing the Renaissance album from start to finish in like...
But that's our bubble, don't you think, a little bit? That's what I was also kind of wondering last night, too.
Sure, but like, what are there any bubbles that are playing Harry's album start to finish?
Stevie Nicks said that...
Stevie
Nicks said that Harry's house is his Rumors moment, which is an enormous compliment.
Okay, that's
cool.
That's great. That's great. I loved it. I listened to it this morning while putting away the dishes.
I listened to both at the gym this morning.
It's great. But I genuinely think Beyoncé's album was more defining of this experience that we are all sharing of 2022, 2023. Like, that's just what I feel. Or Bad Bunny's. Like, didn't Bad Bunny have...
Yeah, it was like the most
break the record for most weeks at number one or something, blah, 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 blah. Like, there are a million different metrics you can judge these albums by. Like, you have the Billboard Awards, where it's like, okay, well, who really had the staying power on Billboard charts? Grammys is just subjective.
Absolutely.
And it's
baby, that's why I always say,
what connected with the audience
when all the annoying gays who were tweeting last night the girls with their Grammys, and they're always recycling that picture of Katie with her grandma because she doesn't have a Grammy. And it's like, two artists in the world have had albums with 5 number ones on it, Michael Jackson and Katy Perry. So I think she's done something that a lot of people haven't done, considering how many people have Grammys. Anyway, with that being said, Keith also tweeted, here's a list of artists who've never won Grammy Album of the Year. Beyonce,
Sock It to Us.
Beyonce, David Bowie, Mariah Carey, Drake, The Eagles, Eminem, Lady Gaga, Janet Jackson, Elton John, Kendrick Lamar, Madonna, Pink Floyd, Prince, Radiohead, Bruce Springsteen, The Rolling Stones. Like, she's not in a bad group there of people who've never won Album of the Year.
Yeah, and I kept seeing this picture of like Beyonce losing Album of the Year to 4 times for these four incredible albums. And I thought, well, Gaga has lost Album of the Year 4 times. But you know what?
Yeah.
It's who is anybody to put art against each other? Like, who is the decider of that? So, like, it's just, you have to take it for a grain of salt. They are as valid as a Kids' Choice Award.
And
it's,
you
like,
know what?
It is what it is.
Didn't the Lord of the Rings not win an Oscar until the last one? And they were like, okay, here you go. Maybe she'll get that with Renaissance Part 3.
Who knows? Who cares?
I
care.
I care. By Beyonce. What a song.
Yeah, good song.
Do you have any other? Yeah. So wait. So what I was going to say is, you didn't see the round table with the Grammy, with the Album of the Year nominees stands. It was a Stan roundtable.
No, but I saw everyone on Twitter being like, can this never happen again?
And each Stan got a minute to Stan their fave and be like, well, I think Beyonce had the best album. So anyways, so they're getting ready to announce the winner, final award of the night. And there's Trevor Noah. And he says, get up on this stage with me, Stans. So then they...
Oh, God.
So what I'm saying is, so then they all go up there. And I very vividly remembered the girl who was standing Renaissance, because I was like, yes, I agree, I feel you. And anyway, so Trevor opens the envelope and then he looks down the line because he wants to let the stan read it. And I see he starts walking the opposite direction of the Beyonce girl. So then I'm like, oh my God, Beyonce didn't win. And then he goes up to the grandma who was the Harry Styles stan. And then, I mean, I knew immediately once I saw him walking that way. I was like, okay, if it's not Beyonce, please be Harry.
I also feel like there's so much hubbub about...
hubbub?
Ooh. About people being like, he's appropriating queer culture and profiting off of queer culture and blah, blah, blah. It's kind of messy for me, where people are like, it's almost forcing somebody to come out,
yeah,
or And I feel like we have this almost every year of people like being forced out of the closet against their own will because fans on the internet or haters on the internet or whatever on the internet demand it because they feel this sense of entitlement of blah, 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 blah. And I'm just starting to see that with Harry. And it's like, however he identifies is like none of our business. And I feel like, I don't know. It feels gross.
I saw some of those tweets also, and it felt icky to me too. It's like, yeah, I wasn't here for it. I haven't been here for a lot of the post-Grammy commentary. Thank God I have my own podcast where I could listen to myself speak.
I hope everyone had a fun night that went.
I was rooting for both teams.
I was. Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Discover. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Thank you so much, Discover, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, which is Apartments.com. Apartments.com has more rental listings than anywhere else, so finding the perfect place is easier than ever, and so is finally moving in together. Just the two of you. It's a big step. Lots of new responsibilities, lots of adjustments. Most likely, they'll wake you up at odd hours to go to the bathroom, and you'll most definitely find yourself in trouble coming home late for dinner, and they might even unroll all your toilet paper next time. It's just what happens when you two find a new place together. But you're not doing it because you feel like it. No, you're doing it because you love them, because they're family. And that's why Apartments.com has more pet-friendly rental listings on the internet, so that you and your furry family can find the perfect new place together. Apartments.com, the place to find a pet-friendly place. Thank you so much, Apartments.com, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip.
Hey now. Did you want to talk about Drag Race? I had a couple other things.
I would talk about Drag Race. I feel like we haven't talked about it in a while,
so we could probably fill these last 5 to 10 minutes with it.
Okay, well, let's discuss. What's the latest? We just had... okay, everything is Drag Race spoilers here on out. We are on season 15. We are on
episode six, I think.
Just premiered. Yes.
Well, let's have
so
it.
So far, we have had 5 eliminations.
See.
I have them in order. Shall we discuss? We have Irene, Princess Poppy, Sugar, Amethyst, Robin Fierce.
I think we last discussed this 2 weeks ago after Sugar went home, so I think we're just 2 episodes behind.
Oh, okay, word. so that we're all caught up on where we are. If somebody's listening 5 years from now, here's what happened. how are we feeling about the season? Is it still such a clear, obviously Sasha Colby's going to win?
I saw tweets this weekend that were like, this is Sasha's turning into like a Bob season, turning into a Bianca season where you kind of know from the beginning. It's interesting. You know, I feel like I always try to like read through the edit, and it's the sad thing. Like, I think everyone's still complaining that the episodes are in only an hour, and sadly that's not going to change. But as queens get eliminated, maybe the episodes will round themselves out in a way. But for me, it just has become very apparent who's getting confessionals and who's not. So I can't help.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't help but think we're in the long haul with these 4 to 6 people just simply based on the amount of confessionals they're getting compared to anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel for somebody like Robin Pierce, who got zero screen time whatsoever, and then as soon as I start to see in an episode like
she had
a confessional, I'm like, oh, okay, I understand. You're at least in the bottom.
Yes, she had two confessionals like right off the top, and I was like, okay, you're in the bottom this week. And it's sad. I swear, when I watched America's Next Top Model, when that show was like in its heyday and it was running, I swear, I want to go back and like fact check this, but I swear whatever contestant got the first confessional at the top of the episode went home every episode. It was like that apparent on America's Next Top Model. And these short episodes make me feel the same way this season. And it was like same thing. I felt like Jax had a confessional in episode 5 and was talking about growing up being adopted. And I was sitting there being like, I've never seen that jacket in a confessional. Like, is this Jax's literal first confessional 5 episodes in?
Yeah. So, like, we have a few more weeks of at least that type of editing where it's so, like, apparent and obvious.
If your girl's getting a confessional at the top of the episode, honey, it's not.
I felt bad for Robin Pierce because it felt like it felt like she is a queen who knows how she wants to be, and yeah, she's not struggling to put herself further out there. She's comfortable with where she is, and she's happy with where she is and how much she's like expressing herself. And there's like nothing, there's nothing wrong with that. And you can tell that reality TV wants reality TV out of their contestants. And so as soon as Amethyst went home, it was like Robin Pierce's storyline was over.
Yeah.
And I just kind of felt like I think they did her dirty. Like, it felt like they cast her then only as a storyline with Amethyst, yeah, as like they're like exes or whatever, I don't even know. And then as soon as they were done with that storyline, they just kind of like were over it.
I mean, to me, that's
bad casting. It's like if you think she's not like outside of her comfort zone and outside of her shell enough, then it was too early for her to be cast. But you guys also wanted to cast Amethyst, so you also wanted to have that storyline.
And I've been,
like, we didn't need to have 20 contestants this time.
And I've
saved the two of them for next season.
Watching the Whatcha Packins, and Amethyst said it was her first time auditioning for the show. So I mean, I guess they could have certainly held off on it, but I loved the looks that Robin had brought to the Whatcha Packin'. I loved almost all of Robin's looks the whole season for what we did get to see on the runway. I liked her lip sync performance. I liked her hip hop performance in the girl group. I thought, even though she was more shy and well reserved, I thought, what a great performer. What a beautiful soul with good looks. I don't know. I was actually kind of bummed when it all like was said and done. I'm like, it sucks that I didn't get to know you more, because thinking back on it, I did enjoy her.
Can I say, I don't like it when queens are all, it's ours because we claimed it first.
Baby, don't you want to get me?
Are you 7 years old?
Yes.
Are you 7? And yes, the answer is yes.
Yes, she is 7 years old. I thought, like, I tweeted yesterday. I've just been all weekend. It's like, I'm not there to watch the girlies fight. And I'm, like, so over gay people being like, that's reality TV. That's good TV. I'm like, you and I have very different perceptions of what good quote unquote good TV is.
I guess I just like Drag Race because it's a celebration of, like, an art form. And if I wanted to watch girls fighting, there are many franchises. Yes, there are many franchises for shady, bitchy, bully behavior.
Yeah, and I think it's like, I don't know, maybe it is triggering for me because it's like, I felt like growing up gay, I think we all have a lot of negative self-talk as is. I feel like we all experience some sort of like bullying growing up, and it's like, I don't want to watch gay people be mean to each other or queer people. Like, and especially then, like, watching a 10-minute segment of them arguing over who's going to have what song. And then because we had to watch that, I now only get to see 3 seconds of everybody's runway.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that's the real travesty of the season. Like, the fact, we all know by now just how expensive it is to go on Drag Race and how much money they put into all of these, like, looks. And for half of the cast to then be safe and you not see the looks or any critiques from the looks or anything like about the looks other than Untucked, which is like a different show.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's that I would be frustrated. I would be a little frustrated if like you get 1 second of screen time for your look.
And then they had such a great conversation with the old gays who were guests on this last episode that only aired during Untucked because I assume it was cut from the main episode. And it's like, that was a powerful conversation. I thought that was really interesting, especially for gay men to be able to witness, because so many of those people that age or that age group died during the AIDS epidemic. So it's like, we're cutting that out for what? For to watch girls be mean to each other about what song they want to pick? I don't care.
Scrap the entire Real Friends of WeHo cast and replace them with the old gays. I would watch that.
Give
old
them
gays of WeHo friends.
They live
old at, gay retirement home think, reality TV show.
I think the old gays live in Palm Springs, but I'd still watch it.
Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. I just wasn't here for it. And then seeing Lux in Untucked, I believe it was, being like, you can call me cocky, you can call me pretty, but don't call me a bully. Girl, don't act like a bully if you don't want to be called a bully. Maybe. IDK.
I think she's talented, and I think she's got star quality, and I think she's got some nerve, and she's charismatic.
Okay. She's not for me. It's just like a bummer when I watch the Meet the Queens and like am excited about somebody and then end up not liking them.
I think my feeling about every queen is like, would I feel like they would be mean to me?
Yes. No, and it's like,
or would they talk shit? Or would they slash have they talk shit about me in the past, et cetera? It's like, you can kind of tell about some people. You can kind of tell about some people.
It goes back to like what you were saying after. Maybe we've just been doing this every other week, because I remember you saying like after the first episode, like now having been 6 episodes in, it's like you're right, like. Mistress kind of saying like, oh, sisterhood is being mean to each other. That's what real sisterhood is. Like, maybe I challenge you to dream bigger. Maybe I challenge you to surround yourself with people who don't make cutting remarks about each other, who like lift each other up and don't just say mean things and then try to be like, well, that's sisterhood, baby. You know what I mean?
Okay, but can we also talk the tie-dye theme, first of all? If you show up to the runway in something that is not so obviously the theme of the runway, you should be automatic bottom.
Are you talking about Marsha?
I'm over it. Marsha, I'm sorry.
I thought she deserves to be standing out there in the bottom no matter what for that fucking look.
You should have to explain the look on the main stage. I do not want to be like, well, I need to go look up her Twitter to see her defending it, because I know she's probably defending it. Lo and behold, she was.
What did she say? What could have she possibly said?
Well, her look was like, the blood was tie-dye. If you look at a close-up of it, the blood of her bloody nose thing, I guess, was tie-dye.
It's just like, okay, hold on.
But like, you could barely tell. If a theme is that.
Hold on.
It is so easy to do correctly. It is tie-dye.
Okay, so we're 6 weeks in and now she's done the Marsha broken nose reference twice. That's all I want to say. That was her fucking walk-in entrance. Also was referencing Marsha from the Brady Bunch getting hit in the face with a football, and now she did it again for the tie-dye week. I'm over it. I get that, y'all.
Yeah, I'm reaching my limit of, like, the novelty of a brand choice has to have longevity and uniqueness to it for it to last this long, and I'm not sure if this brand decision, has staying power for me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's turning into very much, what did they say about Rosé? Weaponized their MFA.
Turning into, it started as that.
Yeah. I don't, did you, I don't know. Maybe I was jaded because I was really put off by the argument scene, but I also thought the judging was really upside down this week. I do agree that the medal was probably the best group overall. I think Sasha was definitely better than Aura. I thought the country group was above and beyond the worst. I don't know. It was weird because I didn't.
I thought they were all equally fine and great. And it's in the moment you notice that editors are plopping in laugh tracks of RuPaul is the second you yeah. realize, oh, they are just telling us. They're preparing us for their.
Yeah, it made no sense. Like the hip hop crew was like doing flips and splits. And again, like I thought Robin was great and she did like a couple big moves, death drops. I loved it. And then they're like cutting to Ru sitting there straight faced. And I'm like, why aren't you enjoying that? Explain to me why you aren't enjoying that. I liked it.
Same with, like, I thought Anitra was great and they were really acting like it wasn't that great. I thought Sasha Colby should have been top, especially with that performance, especially with that look. I understand they can't have it be a blowout where she's top every single week, but like, I just have a hard time.
Here's the thing.
It ain't right. Sasha Colby has been top every week, and she has not been in the top every week.
Yeah.
She's been safe every time except her one win.
I liked Aura this week. I did think her verse was good. I thought her look was incredible, so I don't want...
But girl, it was not a win.
I don't...
Sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't want people to think I'm just like shitting on her because I feel like she's got a lot of hate on the internet. I actually enjoyed her this week, but I just...
Does she have a lot of hate on the internet?
Yeah. Oh my God. What I wanted to tell you
My fingers are not on the pulse on that. Though I will say she is traded the season because every time she comes on I am a little bit hoo ha ha.
What I want to say is you know what's that Roscoe's?
Yeah.
Have you do you ever see those clips on TikTok of the like
yeah
it's just like it's turning into me that just looks like the most miserable experience. Every clip I've seen of queens from the show at that Roscoe setup, it's like they're sitting on the stage with being mad and complaining about something.
Bitter.
And being bitter.
Every time bitter.
And it's like, nah, I can't even watch it anymore. I'm like, y'all, I think going on that is so tacky. You're just getting up there and complaining.
I think the clips that reach us
maybe
are the ones that are higher engagement because they are controversial moments of people expressing how they really feel.
Yeah.
Or like shading each other or something. Like the pleasant moments, I'm sure, are not bubbling onto our For You pages.
Yeah. Maybe.
So maybe there's moments that are good. I thought, you know who I thought should have been in the top this week? Malaysia. I thought her performance in the girl group thing, I thought she was so good. I thought, oh wow, if there's ever going to be a week where she's like really, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like
killing it.
I don't know. I think the Malaysia of it all, I liked her and I'm glad she stood her ground this week. It's like I think it does point to the fact that I think the other two were like kind of bullying her in a sense, just the way they were talking to her and treating her. And it's like, I don't know. It just didn't sit right with me.
That's fair. That's fine. Well, still my favorite show.
Still loving it. Like I said, I will always watch it. I just need y'all to know that I'm not there for the fighting. I'd rather watch 10 minutes of them going down the runway. I'm here for the kumbaya moment.
Speak on that.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Did we ever properly discuss the Snatch Game?
I don't think
so. Did we discuss that?
I don't think so. What did you got to say? Oh, maybe we did. I don't know.
When are people going to realize, stop doing internet people
stop.
At the Snatch Game?
Stop.
You will not be the exception to the rule that it never lands. Think of who you have to make laugh.
RuPaul.
Do you think RuPaul knows who that person is?
No.
No. Enough.
There, I'm glad someone said it because I think it too. And you know what? I said nothing made me feel older than getting on Twitter and seeing people be like, who the fuck is Tan Mom? Like, I knew who Tan Mom was. You think I knew?
I thought her Tan Mom was great.
I thought it was incredible.
I thought it was full of wonderful personal choices.
What a fun way to pick something that is well known and make it your own. But like, do you think I know who did Aura do? Bretman Rock?
No offense to
Bretman Rock. I don't know who that is. No offense to Saucy Santana. I don't know who that is. I know I'm old. I'm old.
Here's the thing. I think people equate being able to look. Give you a look with being able to do a Snatch Game, and it is not the same thing.
Maybe we did talk about it, but a lot of people really got lucky that there were 14 people sitting up there doing Snatch Game because that should have been a six-way bottom lip sync. Honestly, I know it was a mess the last time they did it, but you could have had Sugar, Spice. I mean, I'm sorry, Robin Fierce's Karen Huger was not good.
Has anybody done a Real Housewives woman?
Yeah,
and it been a success?
Jackie Cox did Lisa Rinna, and I'm pretty sure she won. If not, she was second.
Okay.
So Jackie Cox did it. It can be done.
There's no way she won with that.
I think she.
What was the competition then? I need to see who else was in the lineup. And who
isn't
else was
that the season you're watching right now?
I will let you know when. Yeah, you know what? It is the season I'm watching right now. Don't spoil it. Don't tell me what happens.
Too late. I'm going to the Wikipedia page. Stay tuned. You need to brush up on your Lisa Rinna.
Okay. Okay. anything else about Drag Race?
No.
I think we've covered it all for this week.
I don't know. Maybe we end on a positive note. Who are you rooting for? Who do you love? I didn't mean to shit on
Sasha Colby. I started the season with a little bit of my own doubts about Sasha Colby because I have heard so much like from queens praising her.
Yeah.
And I've just been thinking like, yeah, she's fierce. Yeah, she's like legendary. Yeah, she has this like reputation. But can she turn all of that into success on Drag Race in the form of like the things that we know about, like Snatch Game and like improv challenges and girl group challenges, like these types of very specific skill sets that you kind of have to mold yourself into. And I have been so pleasantly surprised that she has been killing it the entire time, to the point where I'm like, they are withholding all of the wins that she's deserving. And I'm ready to get to the finale with her and be like, y'all better give her fucking like crown because she has deserved it this entire time. Besides that, I just don't know who I can see them creating a narrative that justifies giving that person the crown over Sasha Colby at this point. Well, there's nobody that is a clear front runner. And I think that's why all the queens in every episode are fighting over second place. They're all like, oh, I definitely got second. That's, it's like, who gives a fuck?
So fucking
have you ever
tired.
Seen a season where they do that?
No. And I saw some queens tweeting, I was high safe this week.
Get a grip.
I had to mute.
They are.
I was high safe this week. Bitch, you better be talking about stoned because I don't fucking care if you think you were fourth place. You're not on the runway. Shut up. Yeah, I'm struggling to see.
You said let's end on a good note.
Okay, wait, so my good note. I'm also loving Sasha. I think I said after the Meet the Queens that I hadn't really known who she was, and I worry about the ones that are pre-hyped going into the season because I just want to be able to make my own opinion. With that being said, I love her now. I'm rooting for her. She won me over pretty quickly. I do think she'll be in the finals. I'm enjoying Anitra. I'm curious because she's kind of quiet, so she's not getting a lot of confessionals, so I'm curious to see how far she goes, but I'm also enjoying her. I'm still riding the high duck fucking duck walk shit from episode one, and I will continue to.
I hope she didn't peak right out the gate, because that's kind of what it's giving me right now. Like, I don't know if she's been, fashion-wise, I don't know if I'm, like, feeling it.
I've liked her
performance-wise, I think she's doing well, but...
Yep. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
TBD.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I love ending on a high safe note.
Love it. Love, love, love that kind of stuff. Corey, where can people find you?
You can find me sending out love to everyone, because I'm a kindness punk.
Totally, totally, totally.
Where can people find you, baby?
You can find me. You can just find me. Find me.
I promise I'll always find you.
Me and you playing hide and seek.
I'll be here.
Okay, bye.